This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 170. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
It's the end of DC as we know it, and I feel fine. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, August 28th, 2011. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs. You can subscribe via iTunes and leave us a review.
And you can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
I think I might have had too much coffee this morning.
Could be. Well, the last not a reboot issues are here. Many seem to have very quick and dirty conclusions, I thought. And from the aspect of the creators of it, if you were writing something that wouldn't count in a week, would you really care?
Well, some of them did not a bad job.
Yeah, but a lot of them just seemed like, the end.
Yeah.
Very rapid ending there. Also, why is DC publishing this new Teen Titans hardcover in September? Because it was in as an ad and a preview in most of the issues.
Yes.
I seem to remember something else happening that month at DC. This I think this is going to get lost in the shuffle. Maybe this is trying to appease the old guard of fans by actually doing a classic new Teen Titans with the classic creative team. I don't know. It just seems a strange time to do it for something that, even according to the ad, it's been in the making for years and years. So let's bring it out when we're doing this other major event, the biggest event in DC in a decade or more.
Yes. It did seem kind of weird. They could have waited till November.
Exactly.
Been a great Christmas present.
Or brought it out in August when they were worried they weren't getting enough sales. Well, let's move on to some of those last issues, including Justice Society of America number 54 by Guggenheim and Ordway. This may be the last JSA appearance until maybe Multiversity. Now, DC announced on Friday on their blog that the JSA will definitely be back, quote, with a significant twist. Who knows what that means?
Yeah, well.
Now, from everything they said, it sounds like JLA is still going to be considered the first superhero team. So how the JSA fits in without maybe being on an alternate Earth, I don't know how that works. But since it doesn't count, it's good time to kill characters. Alan Scott, 1940 to 2011. They finally killed him off in this issue, the Golden Age Green Lantern.
Well,
again, doesn't really count.
Yeah, but you never actually saw a body either, did you?
Well, he was vaporized by
fully
unleashing the Star Heart.
Heart power, yes.
Yeah. So clearly Guggenheim had more he wanted to do in this storyline. This was a very quick wrap-up of what was otherwise a great storyline.
Yeah, the whole Monument Point thing was really interesting. It would have been nice to see it play out a little bit more.
Yeah, he clearly had more he wanted to do there. Well, hope to see you soon, JSA. Have a nice, as DC's calling it, rest. Teen Titans number 100 by Krull and Scott. They just lucked out that they got to number 100. And it's the usual battle plus angst that you're going to get from Teen Titans. It's half soap opera and half battle action. Superboy Prime is beaten again. This time he's been trapped on the Source Wall.
So here's my question about that.
Yeah.
They said, no, you can't kill him with the kryptonite. But didn't they kill all the other clones?
Yeah. Apparently the clones are fine to kill, but you're not allowed to kill Superboy Prime.
I just didn't understand that at all because, like Superboy said, he's basically a clone.
Yeah, Connor's a clone.
And if you had given those other clones a chance, maybe they would have turned out like Superboy.
Yeah.
So why could you kill them and not Superboy Prime?
Oh, because you don't want to get rid of him as a potential villain downstream. So,
well, it just didn't make sense to me.
So various relationships are resolved in one way or another, and it ended up with the usual extra size issue cheat, which is pinups. I mean, pinups are fine, but, you know, just to do that in order to get to an extra sized issue, it would have been better to actually have had more story than cut to that point. Then what has to be the weirdest issue of this week, the Green Lantern movie prequel, Sinestro, by Johns, Tolobad, Richards, and Ordway. And also, Michael Goldenberg is a writer. He's listed as a co-writer with Johns, but his name's not on the cover. Well, I don't know what the deal is there. Maybe he was a last-second fix, and they'd already had the cover done. I don't know. The bigger question, of course, is, why did this come out 2 months after the movie? What's the point, especially for a movie that didn't do very well?
Right. You know, it seemed like, why even bother putting it out now?
Right. It's a very generic origin story for Sinestro. And then there's this quick history of the Guardians, which I'm sure is reused material. I'm guessing it's stuff that they had made as free handouts for something else.
Yeah.
And maybe even for the digital stuff. Because they sometimes for the digital things, they have, you know, a brief origin story of this particular character. And I'm guessing that's where it came from. So reused material.
It really seemed very pointless.
Yeah. I really debated at the shop. You know, I guess that was on my poll list. I guess I got to take it. If it hadn't been my poll, I absolutely wouldn't have taken it. So now, for the last time, let's get retroactive.
Okay.
Starting with Justice League of America Retroactive of the 90s by Giffen, Mateus, and McGuire. And Giffen, Mateus, and McGuire.
And I have to say, of course, I love this one. This is my favorite JLA.
So the Bwahaha creative team is back, all together again to write a new JLI story. And we finally get the origin story of Justice League Antarctica.
I thought you would probably enjoy that. When I was reading it, I was like, oh!
This is how it is formed. There was an annual for JLI. It was these same characters together who somehow banded together as Justice League Antarctica. And there's even a reference to it in this story that kind of ties it to that. So these five lame supervillains decide to go straight, basically for the money. Major Disaster, Multi-Man, Clock King, Big Sur, and Clue Master, who now, as we know, is Stephanie Brown's father.
Right.
So, but at that time, there was no real reference to that. So this parademon from Apocalypse loses a medical device in a poker game, and Big Sur gets infected and becomes a bigger monster. And the JLI comes in to save the day. The villains get caught in the middle of it. And we get the classic JLI dialogue, like, it's not Darkseid's inhaler, and that's a sexist stereotype. We keep hearing that
over and over again.
And there's some ironic interplay between Blue Beetle and Max Lord. Of course, later Max Lord killed Blue Beetle. Power Girl's cat makes an appearance.
I loved it.
And then we had a backup story from the very end. I believe it's the last issue of the classic run from this team.
I think it must have been. Yeah,
because it says at the end, whole new beginning with a new creative team. So I don't know why they didn't do something from, say, the Cooey 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 period, which is a point where Booster and Ted buy this tropical island, or they win it somehow, and they're going to run a resort, and they call it Cooey Cooey Cooey.
Oh, do you have those?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I do.
Oh, you'll have to get those out. Oh, that will be my next run for my comic of the
day. Absolutely. So this backup story, there's too much drama in this story. It's really not indicative of the JLI period. But we did get a chance to see the ludicrous Power Girl 90s costume.
Oh, that was horrible.
Well, we didn't want to have the peekaboo outfit, and so they changed it, and it's terrible.
Now, in a way, I could understand why they juxtaposed this more serious story with the really funny new story, you know?
I suppose, but I still would have loved to have seen any of the... I mean, there's so many things you could pick from. There was just this bizarre storyline that went on for so long. Moving on to Green Lantern Retroactive, the 90s, by Mars and Banks. Darryl Banks actually signed copies at Pack Rat Comics, our comic book store, this week. So the news story really played up Kyle as an artist, and that's always been how he's been shown as a Green Lantern. Just like Jon Stewart is more of an engineer. There's a number of artistic references that Kyle does throughout all this. So he's painting at the JLA watchtower while he's on monitor duty, and Inferno, a 90s villain, attacks. And we see Kyle's creative side again in his ring constructs. And we mostly hear Kyle's inner monologue. There's not a lot of dialogue in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And they play up Kyle as the last Green Lantern, which he was at the time. This is a period where the Guardians are gone, Oa's gone, he's got the last ring.
Yeah.
And then we have a backup story that shows Kyle starting to get the hang of being Green Lantern, his own concerns about making the other heroes proud. And they keep cutting back to a close-up of a girl in sunglasses. And it's Donna waiting for Kyle on a beach, and he finally shows up. And Darryl Banks knows how to draw women. I'm just going to say that. And so Kyle and Donna have a heart-to-heart in this backup story, and that was a point when they were officially getting back together in the storyline.
Yeah, I had forgotten they were a couple at one point.
Right.
I didn't realize that Kyle had been a Green Lantern since the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
So he's been around for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Because it was after the events of Zero Hour and Parallax and Ganthet.
I mean, in comic book time, it's really only a year.
Yeah, yeah. But it's been a long time.
But in regular time, it's been
oh, yeah.
Over 10.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, DC, how does retroactive 40s, 50s, and 60s sound? I like it. I'd love to read it. So move on.
As long as it's not $60 a volume.
Yes. So let's move on then to the old Flashpoint Roundup.
And this is almost the last week for the Flashpoint Roundup,
yep.
too.
Next week will be Flashpoint number 5, and of course the big change occurs. So we start with Lois Lane and the Resistance, number 3 of 3 by Abneck and Lanning. So Penny Black, this new character who showed up, turns out to be Britannia. And we hear about her, that the British Navy experiment gave her these powers through an accident. And she can control these powers with this special armor. And it's basically trying to get her back to the armor so she could be Britannia again. I'd really like to see this character survive Flashpoint. This character and Outsider are both characters I'd like to see survive the whole Flashpoint thing and be shown again.
Yeah, but, you know, Britannia, they wouldn't do anything with her, no more than, like, Knight and Squire or anything.
Yeah, but at that point,
every once in a while, maybe they'd turn up.
Yeah, but it would be nice to have, again, more international heroes. Agreed, they don't use them all that often, but at least they'd be there. Oh, yeah, and Lois exposes the Amazon's plans and appears to be killed in death number 234626 of Flashpoint. Moving on to Kid Flash Lost, number 3 of 3 by Gates and Gnome. So Bart is being thrown to time by the Speed Force, and he's absorbing the other Speedster's powers as he meets their kind of origin story or some point during their run as a Speedster. So he runs into an early version of Max Mercury. He runs into Jay Garrick at the point where Jay apparently is getting exposed to the hard water the heavy water that caused him to be a speedster in the first place.
And at some point, Bart makes a reference to the Black Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is the Black Flash.
He somehow become the Black Flash, or he thinks he somehow has.
But he really wasn't.
No.
Okay.
No. So he finally finds Iris at Wally's grave, and he realizes what he has to do. He has to actually race the Speed Force itself to get to Barry, and then give Barry the powers that he has absorbed throughout this process. And I'm thinking this is how Barry got recharged in the electric chair. It would make far more sense than, oh, we threw in an electric chair and zapped you, and somehow you got your powers back. This makes far more sense.
It does, and it sort of harkens back to how they say that Wally gave himself the powers, or was it Barry?
Barry.
Barry gave himself the powers. By going back and being the electrical charge
that goes through the chemicals.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Bart gives up his life to do this. Death number 453354. Hal Jordan number 3 of 3 by Schlagman and Richards. So Hal goes off to drop the Green Arrow bomb on the occupied United Kingdom. There's a force field. Hal crashes his plane with the bomb in order to set it off. And Hal sacrifices himself. Death number 543643. And Carol, in the end, finds in Hal's remains, not really remains.
His effects.
Effects. That's the word I was looking for. Carol finds a wedding ring and a proposal. And
that's kind of useless, Hal.
Yeah.
Yeah, really make her depressed now. It's
Thanks.
Not bad enough you died. You didn't even bother to propose to her beforehand.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. That was stupid.
So, as we've said, next week is Flashpoint number 5 of 5 and the official beginning of the new DCU and Justice League number 1. So, we'll be covering that next week.
So, were there any main heroes that really didn't get killed off in Flashpoint?
Oh, I'm sure there were somebody. We haven't seen Thomas Wayne get killed yet, but he's technically not Batman. I mean,
no, yeah, he's technically not. So,
yeah.
Bruce was already
Bruce
killed
was,
off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, and then there was no Green Arrow.
Right.
Well, there was Queen Industries.
There's Queen Industries. Everybody's changed in some way or another.
And a lot of them are dead.
Right. Because that's what you do, especially when you're doing these alternate histories that won't really count.
Well,
time
we'll have
to kill
figure
people.
Out what happens to Barry. He's
right.
left.
Yeah.
Can't kill off Barry.
Mm-hmm. All right. Before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I am ready.
Okay, go.
Twilight?
No, it's
okay.
not Twilight.
That's my automatic first question, though. TV related?
Yes.
Is it a TV? It's not the TV fall preview yet.
It is not the TV fall preview.
So it's one show represented on the cover?
Yes.
Is it a show on one of the three major networks?
No.
Is it a show on Fox?
No.
Is it a show on cable?
No.
Is it a show? Is it on broadcast television?
Yes.
It's on the CW then?
Yes.
Is it a soap opera?
No. I don't know.
Well, is it a is a genre related?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a show already on the air?
No.
So a show coming up that's genre related that may or may not be a soap opera. Okay. Is the genre horror?
Maybe.
Or
partly.
Supernatural type.
Yes.
Okay.
I would assume.
It's not superhero related?
No.
Okay. Let's see. So it's supernatural related, a new show that's coming up on the CW. Is it fantasy related?
No.
So it's not any one of the Fables knockoffs?
Nah. Okay. It is not.
Okay. Let's see. I'm trying to remember what the shows I rarely, you know, care what's on the CW. So,
I'm pretty sure it's the CW.
Okay.
My timer is actually set for 2 hours instead of 2 minutes. You have only 14 seconds left, but it's not going to go off.
Okay.
You're going to say dough.
I guess I'm going to say dough because I'm not remembering what the... It's not the new Dead Man thing.
No.
No.
I'll let you go for just a
Oh,
a
I really
longer.
Don't know.
You should know.
I should?
Yes.
I should know.
Because it's one that I will be watching.
One that you will be watching. Is it vampire related?
All right. I'm going to give you a big clue here.
Okay.
It's only vampire related in... The star of the show.
The star of the show. Oh, it's that Sarah Michelle Gellar show.
It is Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Okay.
Ringer. Yes. Phew. You didn't really technically get
no,
it.
No, I did not.
But I wanted to make you get it because you should have known that.
Well, that's not really genre related or horror related. It's...
Well, that's why I said, like, I'm not sure.
It's more just like a drama than anything.
But it's a twisty new
drama.
Drama,
yeah.
It says it's Cruel Intentions meets Buffy. So it must have some supernatural aspect.
Okay.
Because if it's only meets Buffy because Sarah Michelle Gellar
that
is in it.
That could well be. That's the only connection. All right. So I want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including Mindy's Comic A Day blog. She just started this week.
Yes.
And you can subscribe via iTunes and leave us a review.
And you can email sfpodcastnetwork at gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.